On the train, I had imagined activity and noise at Angelfield. Shouted instructions and arms sending messages in urgent semaphore. Cranes plangent and slow. Stone crashing on stone. Instead, as I arrived at the lodge gates and looked toward the demolition site, everything was silent and still. There was nothing to see. The mist that hung in the air made everything invisible that was more than a short distance away. I found Aurelius in the garden. In his overcoat, he seemed even taller and broader than he really was. Walking beside him in my mist-grey raincoat, I felt insubstantial. "How is your book going?" "It's just notes at the moment, interviews with Miss Winter." We came to a kind of walkway, lined on each side with cones grown so wide that they almost made a hedge. "Why do you come here, Aurelius?" We strolled on to the end of the path, then into a space where there seemed to be nothing but mist. When we came to a wall of yew twice as high as Aurelius himself, we followed it. The moisture in the air began to evaporate, and the circle of visibility grew wider by the minute. Our wall of yew had led us full circle around an empty space. We had arrived back at the same walkway we had entered by. When my question seemed so lost in time that I was not even sure I had asked it, Aurelius answered, "I was born here." I stopped abruptly. Aurelius wandered on, unaware of the effect his words had had on me. I half ran a few paces to catch up with him. "Aurelius, is it true? Were you really born here?"
"Yes."
"When?" He gave a strange, sad smile. "On my birthday." Unthinking, I insisted, "Yes, but when?" "Sometime in January, probably. Possibly February, possibly the end of December, even. 60 years ago, roughly. I'm afraid I don't know any more than that." I frowned, remembered what he had told me before. "Do you mean to tell me, Aurelius, that you are a foundling?"
"Yes.
That is the word for what I am. A foundling." I was lost for words.
"One does get used to it, I suppose."
"Do you really?" He considered me with a curious expression, wondering how much to tell me.
"No, actually," he said.
With the slow and heavy steps of invalids, we resumed our walking. The mist was almost gone. The magical shapes of the topiary had lost their charm and looked like the unkempt bushes and hedges they were.
"So it was Mrs. Love who," I began,
"found me?"
"Yes."
"And your parents?"
"No idea."
"But you know it was here, in this house?" Aurelius shoved his hands into the depths of his pockets. His shoulders tightened.
"I wouldn't expect other people to understand. I haven't got any proof. But I do know."
He sent me a quick glance and I encouraged him with my eyes to continue. "The night I was found, there was a big fire here. Mrs. Love told me so when I was 9. She thought she should because of the smell of smoke on my clothes when she found me. I came over to have a look, and I've been coming ever since. Later I looked it up in the archives of the local paper. Anyway..."
His voice had the unmistakable lightness of someone telling something extremely important. A story so cherished, it had to be dressed in casualness to disguise its significance, in case the listener turned out to be unsympathetic. "Anyway, the moment I got here I knew. This is home," I said to myself. "This is where I come from." There was no doubt about it, I knew.
With his last words, Aurelius had let the lightness slip, allowed a fervour to creep in. He cleared his throat.
"Obviously, I don't expect anyone to believe it. I've no evidence as such. Only a coincidence of dates and Mrs. Love's vague memory of a smell of smoke, and my own conviction."
"I believe it," I said. Aurelius bit his lip and sent me a wary sideways look.
"Have you got a birthday?"
"Yes, I've got a birthday."
"I'll make a note of it, shall I?" he said brightly. "Then I can send you a card."
I feigned a smile. "It's coming up soon, actually." Aurelius opened a little blue notebook divided into months. "The 19th, I told him, and he wrote it down with a pencil so small it looked like a toothpick in his huge hand. Then he smiled down at me.
"Now, cake and coffee? How does that sound? You could do with feeding up.